Grace to you and welcome to the DDP for the 2nd of April. I'm your host, Paul White. Glad to have you with me today as we journey through the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians. Today we focus on the 6th verse, where the end of 5 says we receive adoption as sons, and 6 then qualifies what that would look like. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The indication here is that the Holy Spirit lives inside of those of us who have been made full-grown sons. That's the Greek there for sons, huios, fully formed sons. We're not kids anymore who need external law. That's us at the beginning of chapter 4. That's the Jew, rather, in Paul's day at the beginning of chapter 4. We're full-grown sons. God sent forth the Holy Spirit into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And the indication there is that it's the Holy Spirit crying out to the Father, which would make sense because Paul in previous writings, such as the latter verses of Romans 8, talks about the Holy Spirit making groanings which cannot be uttered. However, in that same 8th chapter of Romans, I want to take you back there now, we have a passage that is nothing if not parallel to the 4th chapter of Galatians. Look at Romans chapter 8, and let's start in about verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Did you notice that in Romans 8:15, we've received the Holy Spirit of adoption, allowing us to cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba there is better translated, it's the Aramaic word for father, which seems like a redundancy, father, father. But the Aramaic version of father there is looser. It's a little more childish, is maybe not the right word, but I think you'll get the point. We would say dad or daddy. It's us having the right to cry out to him in an intimate way. It's not to indicate that we've become children. That would be counterproductive to the argument. He's just said you're not children, you're fully grown sons. But you get the right to call him a father, but not just a father as in a national father, like the father of the children of Israel, but daddy as in a personal father. There's a difference if you are, you know, like we might say, let's use it in an American terminology. We would call George Washington the father of our country. We do that because he was this important founding, quote, father. But no one says George Washington's my dad. We know that there's a difference. Paul takes the idea of the father, which has been an idea known to Israel, and is now being filtered down into the early church. And he wants to personalize it and say that you have the right to call him more than just, say, the founding father or the father of your nation. You have the right to call him your daddy. You have the right to call him your dad, was probably the better word. I only call one person on the planet dad. That's because he's my dad. We have history. I have the right. You get the right to do that with your heavenly father. You can keep him as the father of many nations. You can keep him as the father of all if you'd like. But you have the right to call him daddy. Now, I think there's a little difference in Paul's theology. Maybe it's just in the wording. But it also could be in the development. In Galatians 4, verse 6, the indication is that it's the Holy Spirit in you crying, Daddy, Father. In Romans 8:15, it's very clear that it's you and I crying, Abba, Father. Now, it could be that Paul's showing that there are two different voices, the voice of the Spirit crying, Abba, Father, and your voice crying, Abba, Father, but I don't think so. I think Paul is trying to make a point that when the Holy Spirit is crying, Abba, Father, it's you crying, Abba, Father, and conversely, when you are crying out, Daddy God, the Holy Spirit is crying out, Daddy God, that there is no difference. That's why in Romans 8:16, that next verse, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So it's the Holy Spirit crying out and your spirit crying out, And there should be no difference in the way that you see those two things, particularly in your relation to Daddy God, that you have the right to call him your dad. And then there's a great therefore in Galatians 4:7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. The heir of God through Christ, the through Christ is not in, I'm just trying to be fair to those early Greek translations, through Christ is not an early in the earliest Greek manuscripts. It just says you're no longer a slave but a son, and if you're a son, then you're an heir of God. In fact, the earliest Greeks say you're an heir through God, which shows us that Paul equates Christ and God as one and the same, not two distinct people existing in some spiritual plane. That's important. Let me rephrase, say all of that, and make sure we understand. The earliest Greek manuscripts do not say you're no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. It says, rather, and if you're a son, then you're an heir through God. It doesn't say of God through Christ. Maybe that was added by scribes who wanted to make sure you knew that you had it through Christ. But I think if you go back to Paul's writing, I think what you would see is that Paul shows us that in his theology, Christ is God, God is Christ. At least in his anointing, I'm not saying that Jesus did not have a distinct body and personality. And Paul's not saying that either. In fact, maybe we're putting more by adding those words into the text. We're adding to a theology that didn't need added to. We now will move into the 8th verse, which is where Paul starts to have this concern for the Galatian church specifically. And this is sort of the revival of an idea he had back in chapter 1. We'll make that connection as we start to take this journey with him, which is going to run through about verse 8 through verse 20 before he changes thoughts again. And we'll start that work tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.